Then maybe we should look for another. As John asked him the famous question, art thee who should come, or should we look for another? Well, here we are, 2,000 years later, and we're going to settle the issue here tonight. We believe the Bible will give a Bible answer. And you're listening to the Shepherd's Call tonight. This is Pastor Buddy. Glad to have you in here with us. And call a friend, tell them that we're on WWCR 5070. We're going to bring the truth into you tonight. This is the 9th of November. We're live here tonight. You may catch us on a replay later. And if you do, why, you can call us, area code 423-626-2172. And we'd be glad to take your call anytime that you do call. Praise Yahweh. And we're going to get right into the Bible now. Let's lay a little groundwork, if you will, a gestalt, a thought, evidence, if you will, to support our cause here. And the Bible said to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Well, you know, last week we got into the Bethel controversy, and we determined that somebody lied in the second chapter of the book of Matthew. We're going to go right back there tonight to begin our exciting a search, if you will, for truth. Now, truth is an elusive figure here because most people get lost in the shuffle of the scriptures and they don't know how to rightly divide the scriptures. Now, here in Matthew chapter 2, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, well now, ladies and gentlemen, as I said last Sunday night, that seems like a clear, very clear indication that Christ would be born in Bethlehem of Judea, because it says here is a factual statement that when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east. And then the questions ensued, where is he that is born king of Israel? It says Jews in your text. That is wrong if you go to the Greek. Is Israel. So, let's look, if you will, into the text. You know, the Bible talks about thieves, and you know, if you describe Satan, he was a thief, and Christ described Satan himself. He said that whosoever entereth not in by the door to the sheepfold, the same as a thief and a robber. Well, you see, Satan can steal, and that's what he came for, to kill, kill, K-I-L-L, kill, steal, and destroy. So he's got a threefold, if you will, a three-prong attack on those who are searching for truth. Now, the Bible says, above all things, to get the truth, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, and that's what we're looking for tonight. Let's continue on here as I'm going to show you some errors in genealogy. I'm not giving this to you deliberately to discourage you from searching the scriptures or letting you see that there may be some errors in the Bible, because most everybody believes that God's inerrant word, and it is inerrant, but some men have crept in unaware, and maybe they've fumbled around in here and fooled with the text, if you will, the written text, and that's quite possible because Christ warned us. Now listen to this warning right up front before we get into the meat of the message. Beware of the scribes and the Pharisees. Here in chapter 2, you'll see it's the scribes and the Pharisees who are questioned by Herod the king about where Christ was to be born by prophetic utterance in Scripture. Well, what the Pharisees said and what the scribes said is really not what the Bible says. And therein lies the dilemma here in Matthew chapter 2. The prophet Micah, this little prophet, not much is written about the prophet Micah. It's over in a very obscure place in the Bible. It is very obscure, if you will. Have you ever heard many people quote out of the book of Micah? Very few people ever do quote from the book because it's such a small, unassuming book, you might say. But you see, Yahweh has got strange ways of hiding things in strange places. So here in the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2 is the prophecy. Now the prophecy of Micah 5 and 2 does not correspond to what the scribes say here in Matthew chapter 2. Now something's wrong. Well, let's take a poll here of thought. Conscientious thought, if you will, and I want you to really think. Use your thinker. See, we've been made to think that everything in the Bible is just like God said, and a lot of times we take things that are said in the Bible that other people are saying for the Word of God Himself, and God is not the author of it, just like God is not the author of these scribes saying where Christ is going to be born because they misquote the Scripture or somebody's changed the text. One or the other. Now, you got a choice here. They either misquote, that would have been an error, and to admit that, the Bible scholars who claim that the Bible is the inerrant Word of God would have to say that there's an error here. Well, they're not going to do that, as you very well know. So then, they just leave this alone. Nobody ever gets in here and brings up these controversial issues that we've heard of, except the shepherd's call and your old grizzled minister here tonight, Pastor Buddy. Well, after 50 years of searching the Bible continuously, we haven't taken any vacations from the Bible. We've always had the Bible with us. We read it daily. We search it to see if these things are so. And after 50 years, we found out we don't know nothing, as opposed to what we should know. Because the more we find out that we do know, the less we do know about some of the things that's led us astray. And the Bible says itself to beware of false prophets. These are those who are speaking right out of the words here. They take the Bible, misquote it, misuse it, and abuse it, if you will, and they turn it around in their favor. And was there somebody in the very beginning that had the deliberate intentions of leading us astray, killing us, stealing us, or destroying us, and changing the birthright from the tribe of Ephraim, Joseph, over to the house of Judah? And you say, oh my. Well, no, Pastor Buddy, that couldn't be right. But let's read Micah 5 and 2 as opposed to Matthew chapter 2 and 6. Now, I'd like for you to get your Bible and you read it along with me, and therefore you'll say, well, now, Pastor Buddy's got a point here. Bethlehem, here it says, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, for out of you shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Well, it don't say that in Micah 5 and 2 for the prophetic utterance, and this is the only text directly related to the direct location. We're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to put a finger on the location of where the scriptures say that Christ would be born, as opposed to where the Pharisee scribes say that he's going to be born. Now, they say in Bethlehem, Judea. The prophet says in Bethlehem, Ephratah. You say, oh, that's the same place. Glory to God. Well, it's not. I beg your pardon. And I've got the evidence to prove it. I've got the maps to prove it. The geographical maps, the land locations, the cities, the ancient cities where we're talking about here, they're on the map. And they're not in the place that the scribe said. The place where Micah indicated, according to the great prophet, Jacob, and Yahweh himself, who gave, of all things, he gave Jacob instructions on where to go and what to look for when he went, and Jacob found the place. Now, let's find out if he did. Let's go over to the book of Genesis, and and looked at the scriptures. Now, remember, the controversy that I'm going to talk about tonight and the two issues that I'm going to face, and I hope that you can get the if you will, the whole ball of wax here and the message here tonight, the error of the genealogy. I'm going to pursue this right to the end and show you that Christ did not come out of the tribe of Judah. I've got a $1,000 reward for anybody that can prove that Christ is a Jew or from the descendant. Now, when I say Jew, I'm talking about someone descended from the tribe of Judah. Did Christ actually descend from the tribe of Judah, as everybody assumes he did, because here it says in Matthew chapter 2 that he was born in Bethlehem, Judea? Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's see if he was born in Bethlehem, Judea, or whether he was born in Bethlehem, Ephratah. The word Ephratah means a fruitful place, a place of the promise, a place of the covenant. Let's go back and get the covenant. Genesis 12 and 8. And he removed, this is Jacob, into a mountain to the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent on the west of Hai on the east, and there he built an altar unto Yahweh and called on the name of Yahweh. The place that he pitched his tent was Bethel. Now, was it Bethlehem, Judea, or Bethel, Ephratah? Well, let's find out. And for this is Genesis 13 and 3, between Bethel and Hai, you can find this on ancient maps. I've got it. If you need a copy, just write for it. Now, let's jump to Genesis 28:19, and he called on the name of Yahweh, and he called that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at first. Now, remember that Christ is going to be born in Bethel, Ephratah. Bethlehem, Ephratah, according to Micah 5 and 2. Now, the scribes erroneously, purposely told, will prove, that Herod didn't believe it. Because when Herod slew the children, he went up into the coast of Israel, the northern Galilee, to slay the children. If he'd have believed the scribes, he'd have went down into Bethlehem, Judea. If he'd have went down there, Herod would have been killing his own family and his own children because he himself was out of Judah. But he didn't do that. He went up north where they hated the Galileans. Now, does that make any sense to you? Are you a Bible student here? Have you searched the Bible? You really know what I'm talking about. If you don't, if you're on milk now, you'll probably get lost in the shuffle here because we're going to go so fast, probably your head's going to swim and you can't keep up with the scriptures. We don't apologize for that. We just want to bring you up to speed in case that you don't get the rest of the story here on this hour because you've got to pack it in here. And if you can't get the rest of it, well, just call me tonight. We'll talk about it. I'll send you information that will bring you up to speed. Now, we got a 22-page document written, and we got this on tape. We'll have this on tape tonight if you'd like a tape of this message or any of the information we got. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes related to this message. So we're not in the dark concerning what we're talking about here. We prove all things. We'd be unwise to get on worldwide radio and declare to people $4,000 reward for anybody that could prove that Christ was a Jew. Now, if you could prove he was, and did you know that 98% of Christians believe he was? Without any checking, without any Bible search, because they've been taught from the get-go, from the word go, if you will, that Christ was a Jew. And everybody believes that the Jews are God's chosen people. See, this is where the serpent stole the birthright. This is what we're talking about here tonight. We're trying to give you clear, informative information concerning these great mysteries in the Bible. We're just not a 5-minute read, and then we stay on one message all the time. We get into the meat of the gospel. We tell it like it is, and we take on the controversies as we encounter them in the Bible, and we pass them on to you for whatever it's worth. It may save your soul. You say, well, what's it worth if he was a Jew? We're all God's people. That's a lie. We're not all God's people. That's right out of the serpent's mouth. He'd like to make you think that multicultural humanism, God loves everybody, right from my information on, he said, forgive them not. When the world, the Christian world, says, oh, he said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Ladies and gentlemen, somebody killed him, had a plan. This plan was conceived and hatched up right in the pits of hell to kill the Messiah and become heir to whatever he was to possess. Now, what was so valuable? What did they say? Why did they say when Christ gave them the parables? And I preached on this in the tares and the wheat. You need to order the tapes on that. It'll tell you exactly. If you'll turn over to Genesis 35, and let me show you a scripture here. So, Jacob, this is the sixth verse. Now, you can read the third verse where he goes up to Bethel and he said, I'll make an altar to God. And in 35 and 6, Jacob went to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan. Now, Luz is Bethel, the ancient place where Jacob slept on the stone, now called the Stone of Stone, carried by the tribe of Ephraim, Joseph, and 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. This is the stone that accompanied the children of Israel. It was a holy relic. You know what it represented? The birthright. Now, who had the birthright? Who hated the man that had the birthright? Joseph. The Levite son of Jacob's strength was hated, and he was exiled, if you will. He was literally killed from the presence of Jacob. Now, Jacob mourned for Joseph, his birthright son. Now, who was the birthright? What's the birthright all about? What's it? You see, the Jews do not want you to know that it's the house of Joseph that's got the birthright, not the house of Judah. They have convinced the world that the birthright belongs to Judah because Christ, hear this erroneous scripture in Matthew chapter 2 of New Testament teaching that Christians run around and say, oh, yeah, I know where Jesus was born, glory to God. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, it says he was born in Bethlehem, Judea. Now, who wrote that? Did Christ write this in here? Is this the word of God? Did God inspire the prophet to write this? Or should you rightly divide the scriptures and take into account that something's rotten right here in the second chapter of the book of Matthew, where it says, in conflict with the prophetic prophecy of Micah, that he would be born in Bethlehem Ephratah, exactly, if you will, about 40 to 50 miles north of Bethlehem, Judea. Well, was there a controversy, Pastor Buddy, concerning us? Yes. 7th chapter of John, beginning to 40th verse through the 52nd verse, there was a raging controversy of what place Christ would come out of. This is after he's born in Matthew chapter 2. Christ was a 33-year-old man, approximately, at this time. So 33 years after his birth, the controversy was still raging among the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the people that really believed on Christ of where he'd come from. The Jews did not give any recognition that the true birthright Messiah would come out of Galilee, because they said, search and look, for out of Galilee arises no prophet. Oh, really? You mean to tell me that Bethlehem Ephratah is not in Galilee? They have very conveniently removed as many ancient landmarks. And you know what the word says? Do not remove the landmark. This is the place where he's born. But amazingly, now this is amazing. This is where that the rubber meets the road. This is where Pastor Buddy has got the proof in the puffing. And we give you a bowl of pudding that'll stick to your belly. When you eat this meat, it's meat doctrine. This is chicken pot pie, if you will, to those who know the truth, and the truth will stand forever. Etched in the mountains, and I have a, if you will, I have a color photograph taken by a United States spy satellite of the ancient territory of Bethel, Ephratah. And they're etched in the mountains in natural configuration mountain chain. This is a mountain chain by the hand of Almighty God, Yahweh, When I say God, I only say God for the purpose of trying to bring everybody up, because when I say God, most Christians know I'm talking about the Creator. Most sacred name people get on me for saying God because they know He's Elohim or El. So I'm going to stay with the 98% of Christians who understand, and 2% of you sacred name people, please bear with me. I know that God is a pagan, ancient, ritual term for dog when you go backwards in Hebrew. I know that. And hopefully most of my students will know that and know that I have to use God and Lord in some places to try to communicate with my people that are listening in to me tonight that's hearing Pastor Buddy perhaps for the first time and don't understand the sacred name or anything else. Most of them have just been Christianized, and that's where they're at. But in the mountain chains of Bethel Ephratah, right in there is four words in Hebrew. Now, it's just like the finger of Almighty God came down from heaven, and in the formation of the earth, in the very beginning of the formation of the earth. Now, I don't know how many millions of years old the earth is. I'm not going to get into the age of the earth. That's another controversy. But somebody's finger stuck it into the mud pie down here, perhaps long before timber ever grew or forest to cover. But in the natural configuration, the wisdom of Almighty God, knowing that this could only be seen from a high advantage, but the Bible declares that His name is written in the earth, and nobody has ever revealed this that I know of on national radio, except Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call, who we dare to go where others fear to tread. We're not your average preacher. We don't run with a pack, and we don't belong in the wolf pack. We belong in the sheep pack, and we're the shepherd, and we guard the sheep, and we bring the sheep information that can save their soul if they want to look and see. Somebody's lied to you. Somebody's stole you. Somebody's deceived you, and the Bible said they will deceive the very elect if possible. Now, here in the mountain chain, four words, Kia, Lutz, Hashem, Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, Ephraim. Now, ladies and gentlemen, write. I'll send you a copy of a photograph taken from space that shows the natural configuration of the contour of the mountains. Just like I said, somebody's hand has written His name where it says, Kia means in Hebrew, it means because it is. Like God told Moses in Genesis or in Exodus chapter 3, I am that I am. I am Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh. The four sacred letters of His holy name was revealed to Moses, and Moses took the name, and then Pharaoh made it famous throughout the earth. The name of Yahweh has been made famous in the earth above all names. Every knee will bow to this great name, and it's written in square script Hebrew, Aramaic, the language that was spoken by Christ 2,000 years ago. He was born to Hebrew parents, not Jewish parents, as everybody believes that Mary was a Jew. That can't be read, that Joseph was a Jew. Quite the contrary, both of them were Ephraimites, and Christ Himself was a descendant from the house of Ephraim. I've got a $1,000 challenge to anybody that can prove that Christ came from any other tribe other than the tribe of Joseph, Ephraim, the birthright tribe, and that's where He came from. And we've got the genealogy and the Bible to back it up and prove it. Now, who has changed the text? Beware of the scribes. The scribes were the copiers of the text. They could insert anything they wanted to. You said they wasn't there. Well, Christ said, beware of them. He wants you to watch them for a reason. If you're wise, you'll look. If you're wise, you'll search. Don't let nobody steal your birthright. That's what the devil has done to the people of the earth who claim to be the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They're blind. They're supporting a people that claim to be God's people when in reality they're liars, according to Revelation 2 and Revelation 3. Here, etched in forever, unless there's an earthquake and rolls it over, and I doubt that anytime soon, because Almighty God, Almighty Yahweh, wanted his name, the Hashem, left indelible. Nothing could be added, nothing taken away, unless somebody goes in there with a bulldozer, and probably when this message gets out, they will, to hide it from me, but we've got the photograph here to prove, in its natural configuration, that Ephraim, Hashem, Bethel, is right there, etched four Hebrew words in the mountain chain, natural, because Bethel, Yahweh, Ephraim. Because Yahweh, the Savior of the world, came in a flesh body, brought his name to the planet, ooh, glory, to the earth, was incarnated in a body of flesh, walked here for 33 years, which is a master degree. And there's a reason for him being 33 years old, and that's the reason why that the Masonics hold the 33rd degree to be so sacred. It's because it's mastership. Then they've taken the knowledge and hid it from me, and here's Pastor Buddy taking the knowledge and giving it to you. The very thing that they take for power, you see, knowledge is power. They want to keep the knowledge to themselves where they can have the power over you to enslave you, to make you believe a lie and keep you in darkness and bondage and oppression so that they can use you and abuse you, kill you, steal you, and destroy you. They stole the birthright. Here's Pastor Buddy bringing it back to you. Offering it to you, evidence supported, with a challenge for anybody that says otherwise. And there's $1,000, and Dr. Gary has encouraged me to go to $5. I'll offer you $1,000, and if you take it, we'll throw in another $4 just for a kicker. Here it is. Because in Bethel, the house of God, is what that means. Bethlehem, the sons of Israel, that Yahweh will incarnate through the tribe of Ephraim, not the tribe of Judah, as the lying scribes and the Pharisees tried to tell us here. Now, I'm going to give you something else. Now, write for that copy. And you that have written, I've sent it out. I didn't send you the color copy. If you want the color copy, send me an offering, a love offering, to cover the cost of copying in color. But it's beautiful. You can see the mountain chain etched. If you know anything about Hebrew, if you know the name, the letters, you can see etched in the mountains, Kiah, Lutz, Yahweh, Ephraim. Oh my, it's the place where he was born. Now, I want to get into some other controversial things, if you will. And let's go, now, remember, Bethel, Ephratah. Bethlehem, Ephratah. Now, let's go to genealogy. You say, well, now, Pastor Buddy, you say Jesus was a Jew because the Bible says here, now listen, now let me show you, the genealogy of Jesus. It says in the King James Bible, I'll use Jesus, that's what it says here. Again, that's another controversy, but we'll use it for your sake. Just for a moment here, just stay with the word as it's written. Genealogy of Jesus, Book 1 of Matthew, verse 1. Now, this is the book of the genetics. Remember, the word generation, Strong's number 1078, in the Greek. The genetics, offspring of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of David. Now, I want to stop right there. It says that Jesus Christ was the son of David. Now, amazing, here, we only go down three verses to we'll get Phares and Zara. They come in here out of place, out of sorts. Somebody has deliberately placed them in the genealogy, I believe, and I can prove this, that Phares and Zara is not in the genealogy of David. Can't be. And if they are, there's something wrong with genetics, or there's something wrong with the genealogy. Well, I opt for the latter. There's nothing wrong with genetics, because a tree will bear fruit. So you see what I'm talking about? Now, we're talking about genetics. Genetics, as long as the race and the blood is properly mixed together. In other words, kind after kind. Now, when you miscegenate, that means you alter the blood of genetics. And by altering blood, you alter the original creation that Yahweh, when he created everything, he made different blood, not the same blood, but different bloodlines into the earth and told us not to mix. He told Israel not to mix with nothing except Israel. Israel was to mix only with Israel. Isn't that racial, Pastor Buddy? Well, of course it was. You see, ladies and gentlemen, every race that's pure should practice what Pastor Buddy preaches, and that's to keep yourself pure and unspotted in blood from the world. Do not let the world entice you to mix your blood with any other race of people. If you do, you cheapen your race or you destroy the original genetics, and pretty soon none of the original will be left, just like it was in the days of Noah, when Noah was the last. With seven more in his family were the last of the genetics of Adam to live upon the earth. Isn't that amazing? That Adam's bloodline through Seth was almost destroyed. There were only eight souls of Adam's blood or Seth's bloodline left on the planet. Yeah, there were plenty of blacks left. They were in Africa. Yes, there were plenty of Chinese. They were in Asia. Their history goes, predates Genesis 6,000 years ago, long before that. And you say, well, God killed everything in the flood. The flood was not worldwide. It didn't cover all of the mountain chains of the earth. It was not possible. It wasn't probable. Very improbable. And it wasn't to be. Yahweh was only killing the sons of Adam through Seth, who had miscegenated and mixed their blood and destroyed their original bloodline. Yahweh was very displeased with that, and here came the process of destruction, and Yahweh chose, because he knew that there was only eight souls left in the bloodline of Seth, from Genesis chapter 5. All right, here we go. Back to Matthew chapter 1. I love to get in genealogy. I've studied it for years and years and years. I know every verse in Scripture, nook and cranny, of the bloodlines through Chronicles, the book of Numbers. It's amazing what you can find if you're interested in genetics. The Father gave me a vision 30 years ago about what genetics would be in the last days, that they would be just exactly like they were doing in the days of Noah. They were manipulating genetics to try to breed out a people on the earth who claimed the birthright. Oh, my. Yeah, they tried wars, and that didn't destroy us. We prospered. They pitted man against man, brother against brother here in the United States in the Civil War. We fought over that issue. That didn't kill us. We're still here. But the very thing we got to fear is miscegenation and taking the blood of Genesis chapter 5 from the bloodline of Seth, which was the chosen sons, through Isaac. Remember, not all Israel is Israel. Through Isaac shall the children be called. And we'll get into that great controversy right for my booklet on genetics by Dr. Kelly, a notable scholar in the Word, an ancient man, a great man, who tells it like it is. I've got a book I'll send to you. Just request the book, Genetics by Dr. Kelly. I'll send it to you, praise Yahweh. It will explain more in detail what I'm talking about here tonight. And I didn't even mean to get on that, but I will mention the book, that we have it. Send us a little love offering, if you will. Tuck it in there. Help us with a message here. The message of truth. Nobody else goes here. Nobody dares to go where we tread. The Father just anointed us and give us a voice and give us a door open through the love of Dr. Gary and Dr. Jack and others who support the ministry here. And we appreciate every one of them. We answer every letter. Give us a time. We'll get you returned. And if you send us $2, We'll send you, we'll send the same information that you send if you send us 100. We just love the people. Praise Yahweh. We're just trying to give you information. And we're just trying to keep our head above the water and float there. So help us. We need your help. We're not too proud to ask for money. You're supposed to support the ministers. I'm a Melchizedek priest. I'm not a Levite. I'm a new covenant man. I keep the second Passover in Revelation. You'll know why when you write for my tape, the second Passover, why we should keep it, who we are, the lost sheep, a stray, and a country. You see, the place where the original name existed has been no more. Now you are the temple, and now you keep it in the gates where you reside, in a country or a land of fire. You can keep the second Passover in Revelation and keep it through covenant of Melchizedek rather than Levite. You'll understand when you write for their faith. See, we got controversy after controversy after controversy. Christ did not die in the first Passover. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, when he died? He died in the second one. I can prove it. Write for my information on a second Passover. You'll be amazed at what they hid from you. We'll dare to tell you. And we keep going through the Word. Here we are in Matthew chapter 1 in the genealogy. And Judas begot Judas. Begot Phares and Zara. I wonder why in the hell it doesn't say that Judah also begot Shela and Onan and Er by a Canaanite woman. I wonder why that they left that out. Somebody forgot to put in the proper genealogy. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the elder son from the blood was to receive the birthright. If that's true, then that would have been Er from the first marriage of Judah in the 38th chapter of Genesis, where he married a Canaanite. But a Canaanite cannot have a blood inheritance in Israel. Uh-oh. Inner deception. You better watch. Somebody's after your soul. The Bible says that in that day, they shall deceive the very elect. You see, many Christians or profession Christians are led astray through this error right here. The message I'm teaching you tonight will correct the error of the wicked. The wicked men have entered in unaware, changed the word, they've changed the text, they've added to, they've taken from, beware. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, 18, and 19 will tell you the exact reason why that you better beware of those that add to and take from. Here we are in the genealogy. I'm going to prove to you something's rotten in Denmark. Here it is in verse 3. Judas begot Phares and Zara. And like I say, don't mention the first three sons that Judah begot. And one of them lived and still, his seed's still on the earth right now. Shela. He was one of the 66 souls that went down with Jacob into Egypt, and so a Canaanite son that married in the family of Israel, and that's why that Christ said, I know you're Abraham's seed, it's true, but you seek to kill me. That was the Canaanite Jews, and here is Judas, the Hellenization for Judah, and Judah begot Phares and Zarah, and Amram begot Abdemadi, and Abdemadi begot Nason, and Nason begot Shalmon, and Shalmon, you see, right here's where we catch them. In the genealogy. If you've ever read the book of Ruth, you know that Boaz and Obed and Jesse were not Judites. Oh, you say, well, I didn't know that. Well, that's why they can prove this right over your head. And you read everything and I think it's God's holy word. You better check the word to make sure that somebody ain't added to the text. When Christ was 12 years old, standing in the temple, he was berating the scribes and the Pharisees because of the text change. And he was just like Pastor Buddy here. He's catching them. And they were amazed that he had never learned, been to school, the school of the prophets, in other words. The Pharisee Sanhedrin court had not trained him. Yes, that's right. He wasn't corrupted. He had the knowledge. He knew that the scribes had changed the original text, that Christ would come out of Bethlehem Ephratah, which is in Bethel, the birthright place of Joseph, to Bethlehem Judea, the place where Judas had begotten Canaanite children to mix in the tribes. Here it is in the 46th chapter of the book of Genesis in the 12th verse, if you want to read where Judah's son, Shelah, went down into Egypt with Jacob. And here it is. Now, here it is. Well, let me prove to you the genealogy is incorrect. Something's rotten right here. Right here in Matthew chapter 1, in the Bible, in the New Testament, is something wrong. It is not God's holy word. Search the scriptures for wherein you think you have eternal life. John 5:39, a warning for you to search. Now when you compare the genealogy of Obed and Ruth and Salmon and Jesse, you'll find out something very shocking. Jesse, Obed, and Boaz were all Ephraimites. Now how, if Phares and Zar were Judites, what are they doing here in the bloodline of Ruth, Obed, Jesse, and David? Because Christ was the son of David, an offspring of David. Now, if David's father was an Ephraimite, Strong's number 772, Strong's number 669, look it up, a descendant of Joseph Ephraim. If Christ was a bloodline relative of these people, then what would Christ's bloodline be if he was true to his blood? And I know he was. That's why that they killed him when he come revealing that he was not from the tribe of Judah. And that's why the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin court, which was run by the Pharisee Canaanite crowd of Genesis 38, they become very prominent. They loved the chief seats. They ran for the offices, just like they have infiltrated the government of the United States and the governments of the world, for that matter. They're right in right now, and they control everything that moves. Oh, my, I shouldn't have said that. That might make somebody mad. Well, you say, oh, the madness of the prophet. It's the madness of the prophet. Brother Buddy, you've lost your mind. This can't be true. If this is true, we're living in the greatest lie that's ever sold. Oh, that's just exactly what it was. It's been the greatest lie, deception, the killing, and the stealing that Satan has ever brought on the earth. He stole the birthright. And that's what this message is about. Now, I'm going to prove it to you. Now, follow me back from Matthew chapter 1, verse 6. Look at it. And Jesse begot David, the king, and David begot Solomon by the wife of Urus, the Hittite. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you think that Christ is going to come through a polluted bloodline of the Hittite when he said kill all the Hittites? Do you think, let's go back to 1 Kings just for a moment before we go back. Now, keep the scriptures down here because I don't want to lose you in the confusion and the shuffle here. If you go back to 1 Kings, let's run back there to 1 Kings before we go to 1 Samuel. I want to go to 1 Kings and show you something here in the text that may surprise you. It might even shock you if you look at the scripture here. Let's find out exactly what type of guy Solomon was. You think that Christ is going to come through a polluted bloodline of a Canaanite-loving man? I don't think so. But King Solomon loved many strange women. This is 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. Strange women. The Hittite. You think that Christ is going to come through Solomon's bloodline with a perverted Hittite? Urus was a Hittite? And how do you know that Bathsheba wasn't a Hittite? Did you know that Yahweh frowned on this marriage of David, and yet he made a promise to David? Did you know that if Urus was a Hittite, then Bathsheba, even if she wasn't a Hittite, she'd been unclean? This is Solomon's mother. Here, and the nations concerning which Yahweh said, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn your heart away from me to their gods. And Solomon cleaved unto them in love. He even built temples to them. And a temple he built down there, the first temple, had a place for his lovely gods of the Canaanites. That's why Christ wouldn't go in it. He chased the money changers out, and he said it's a den of thieves and serpents. You'll get the message if you stay tuned in to Pastor Buddy. I'll give it all to you. What time I can give it to you, and I'll be on here long. I may be gone, and you'll not hear this voice no more. And this is one of the strangest voices you've ever heard on worldwide radio. Who knows how long I'll be here. And this is the message. You better get the information while you can. We've got it all here for you. We got it wrapped real tight, and we prove all things. The Bible said, hold fast to that which is good, which is what Solomon didn't do. Now, if you'll go from there over to chapter 3 of Luke, verse 38, you'll see a strange thing. That in the book of Matthew, chapter 2, where we were reading from, Matthew chapter 2, listen to me again, Matthew chapter 1, where we're back in the genealogy here, 1 and 6, and Jesse begot David the king, and David begot Solomon. This is the genealogy downline of Christ. Now, I told you something's wrong here. Well, if you go to Luke chapter 3, verse 38, you'll see that Luke disagrees with Matthew and the genealogy. Something wrong here. Now, I repeat this. Luke, who's given a genealogy of Christ, also, and the Bible says, prove it in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Here's Matthew as a witness. And did Matthew deliberately deceive you? No. Could the scribes have done some changing of the text? Yes. That's quite possible. And I believe the latter, that they changed some of this text here. But if you will be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, you'll see the mystery here. In Luke 3:38, you'll see that that Luke says that Christ descended not through the bloodline of Solomon from David's wife Bathsheba and Uriah, but he descended from Abigail through Nathan, the Israelite woman, a clean blood. Now, which one are you going to believe? Did he come through a polluted bloodline, or did he come through a clean one? That's your choice. You just take your choice. Now, if he didn't come through Nathan, then there's something wrong with Matthew. Or if he didn't come through Solomon, there's something wrong with Luke. You see what I'm talking about? So there's a division. Well, let me show you the mystery. Now, remember I told you that David was not a Judite or from the tribe of Judah? Well, we're going to prove that. Let's go over to 1 Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel. Go with me there, and we're going to prove what we say. The Bible said prove all things, and here we are in the bloodline. Now, we're going to run to the book of Ruth also, so get ready. Get your pencil and paper if you can't remember all the scriptures, you know. You can't hold all the chapters where we're going to, because I'm just giving this all out of my memory. I don't even have to open the Bible to go here, so I'm just giving it to you from memory, but you will check after me. Don't take my word for it. I could lead you astray, but if you'll look on book, verse, and chapter where I mention and take notes, and if I'm going too fast, forgive me, write for the information or talk to me. I'll load you up with information. This will surprise you about what the book says. Now, verse 12. 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verse 12. Now, David was the son of the Ephrathite. Now, that's Strong's number, 772, or Strong's number, 669. Both says a descendant or someone, offspring from, not the house of Judah, but the house of Ephraim. So, if David was an Ephraimite, because it says here that Jesse was an Ephraimite, well, then that would have made Jesse's father, Obed, an Ephraimite, and that would have made Obed's father, Boaz, from Ruth, an Ephraimite, and Christ came through the bloodline of Ruth and Boaz, which produced Obed, which produced Jesse, which actually produced David, which actually produced Nathan, which actually produced Christ. And there you have it. Praise Yahweh. Now, for proof, let's go back to the book of Ruth. Now, you're going to have to follow me real quick because, you see, I'm trying to cram about a six-hour message in less than 50 minutes here to try to bring you up to speed on the account of the scriptures. Now, if you look at the book of Ruth, you'll find in the book of Ruth itself a very, 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 very interesting scripture that says in the first chapter, in the first five verses, read the first five verses in the book of Ruth, that the son of Ruth, Ruth's husband, he was an Ephraimite. And his brother was an Ephraimite. So then, the bloodline that Ruth is married into is Ephraim. Oh my. This is the very bloodline according to the fourth chapter. Now, if you'll go to the fourth chapter of the book of Ruth and read the last five verses, to make it very plain for you, read the first five verses in the first chapter and the last five verses in the fourth chapter, which is the final book of Ruth, and you'll see that these were Ephraimites, that they were bloodline progenitors of the bloodline of Christ. Therefore, Christ could not have been a Judite or from the tribe of Judah, as the world, the Christian world, and the Pharisees and the scribes have made you believe. You see, if you'll do your homework, if you'll do your study, if you'll fast and pray and search the scriptures daily. Now, I have spent countless hours, and this is not a boast, I'm not bragging, but neither am I complaining about my time I've spent for Yahweh. I'm honored every second, every moment. I've laid for 40 days and 40 nights hungry and thirsty, but desiring the living word more than my necessary food. For countless days, I have laid and fasted trying to seek the revelation. And when it came, I'm so sad. It didn't turn out like I thought it would be. It wasn't like I had it believed to be. It wasn't like I was taught it to be. My eyes became open. And once I found out what the truth was all about, it wasn't all about what I believed it was about. And you'll find out the very same thing, that the Christian world has been so naive. I know all of them's honest. Every church you got out there is really trying to preach the truth as they know it and as they see it. But a lot of them have not paid the price to wear the crown. A lot of them have not spent countless hours of fasting trying to get a home in heaven. You see, my first job is to save myself. Now, if I'm charitable and I've got the love of Christ and I want to save others, then I will preach to others what saved me. And the very same gospel that saved me, if it saved me, will save you. And the Bible said, save yourself from this untoward generation. This untoward generation is a generation that lies. You see, the apostles was whipped, beaten, stoned by these same Pharisees that called themselves Jews. They were jealous, envious, spiteful. You see, Christ people is not that way. These were serpentine children claiming to be Jews. These were the Canaanites that was mixed into the house of Israel, and they are now in complete Zionistic control of all the world and most of its governments. I'm sad to say that we're in a sad state of affairs for political purposes, and especially for spiritual and truthful purposes. People love lies now. They love tradition. Christmas time is coming. That's why I'm preaching on this message. Christ was not born in Bethlehem, Judea, as they'll have thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of people sitting in these nice little convenient warm churches with the plays going on about the manger scene away in the manger in Bethlehem, Judea. And you remember what this old prophet said, it'll all be lies. Oh, how good it sounds, how sweet it is. You see, the lies of Satan are enticing. And the Bible said it would deceive the very elect. How can you hear the word? How can you hear the truth except God sends a prophet? Except God sends a preacher? And that preacher will be hated. That preacher will be despised. That preacher will be outside the system, crying out against the sins and the falsehoods and the traditions of those who profess to have Christ and belong to the kingdom, when in truth they're nothing but serpents or victims of lies of tradition and circumstances much far beyond their control because they're not willing to pay the price to search out the truth. And the Bible said it's one thing for Yahweh to hide the truth and another for a king, somebody that's anointed, somebody that's called. How can you hear without a preacher? How can he preach except he be sent? And if he's come to preach, he'll preach something that's contrary probably to what you've been taught. Because that's how I learned. Everything I learned was against everything that I've been taught. That which I found to be life, I found to be death. And that which I found to be death, I found to be life. Oh, wretched man that I am. You see, it's lonely in the truth. Straight is the way and narrow is the gate, the few there be that find it. I set on the path of truth. I set out to reach the path of truth. And the farther I got on the path of truth, the less I had to have comfort with or to have counsel with. Well, my heavens, my time is come and gone. This is Pastor Buddy. My, how time has flown. My mailing address, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Let me give you my telephone number again. I got to get out of here. I'm running late here. We're on 8:59:03. I got to get out of here by 8, so I'll only have time to give you my telephone number one time. You better take it. 423-626-2172. If you like information, you need to write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. I'll see you next Sunday night. This is Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd Call. Yahweh bless you.